We're going to look this morning at John chapter 15, where Jesus said, "I am the true vine." So if you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, really, you can divide this chapter into three parts. First of all, it's our relationship to Christ, verses 1 through 11. Then our relationship to the body of Christ, verses 12 through 17, deals with love and fellowship. And then verses 18 through 27, our relationship to the world, deals with hostility and faithfulness, verses 18 through 27. Or if you want to put it a different way, the first part is abiding in the Lord. The second is affection in the body, and the third is antagonism in the world. I want to focus on I am the true vine this morning. A lot of different ways God tries to explain to us in simple terms, just like that beautiful song that Francis just sung, just so simple. But yet, the analogies God uses of our relationship of God to his people. He's our Father, we're his children. We're members of his household. He is the king. We are the subjects of the king. He's the creator. We're the created creatures. He's the shepherd. We're his sheep. He's the builder, and we are the building. He's the master. We're the servants. He is the husband, and we are the bride of Christ. And he is the head, and we are the body. You could do whole studies on those analogies. But this is, he is the vine and we are the branches. Let's look at John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, the gardener, the farmer, the planter. A lot of different ways you can translate that word. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, the timeline of this is right after he did the Lord's Supper. It says that after they finished the supper, after they sing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And it's interesting that we do this right after we did the Lord's Supper last Sunday. But he's going out, he's going down the slope from the eastern gate of Jerusalem, through the valley, the brook Kidron, and up the hill to the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is on the hill on the other side of the valley. Now, as you walk out of Jerusalem, during the time of Passover, the gates of the temple were left open at night. And you can look through the gates of the temple to the gate on the holy place. And on the holy place is a golden vine right on the door. Okay? The vine had become a symbol of Israel. During the Maccabean period, between the time of the Syrians and the time of the Romans, the Maccabean period, 168 B.C. to 48 B.C., the vine had become a symbol of Israel. The prophets had talked about Israel being a vine. When you had Jewish money, the vine was on one side of the Jewish coin because it was a symbol of the nation of Israel. You find in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. He hath fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth fruit and grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now for us, that would be like sour oranges, okay? Now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done to it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth good grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Now go to, I tell you, what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and behold, oppression. He looked for righteousness, but behold, there was just a cry. The vine is the symbol of Israel to the Jewish people. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed, but now thou art turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine. Interesting. Book of Hosea. Let me find Hosea here. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images, but their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. God shall break down their altars. God shall spoil their images. So you have this idea. The vine is on the gate of the holy place in the temple. The vine is on the coins of Israel. And as they're walking through, they have this idea that Israel is the vine. Because grapes are important. Let me talk to you about grapes a minute. Grapes are the most widely grown fruit in the world. Archaeological evidence, we found grapes 4,500 years ago in the tombs of the Egyptians. Even today, grapes are important in Israeli economy. The grapes are consumed in three forms. You eat fresh grapes, you eat raisins, and you drink wine. Grapes come in different colors, sizes, and flavors. The quality of the vine is only as good as the rootstock, and you know that with any kind of tree or vegetable. Individual branches are grafted onto healthy root stock. Vines are adaptable, but you have to take care of them. You have to water them, you have to fertilize them, you have to prune them. New plants are pruned for 3 to 5 years, so you train them before you allow them to produce grapes. Good roots produce for as many as 100 years, the same grapevines. You just prune them back every year. For their size, they're very productive. One grapevine might produce 80 pounds of grapes. Disease and lack of prodigality. If you have dead branches, they're diseased. That can spread to the good branches. The disease can spread. But well-tended grapevines are beautiful and aesthetic plants. Now, Jesus, they've walked out of Jerusalem. They're down in the valley, the brook Kidron. They're walking up the hillside to the Mount of Olives. It's called the Mount of Olives because it had olive trees planted on the top. And some of those olive trees are still there. In fact, some of those olive trees may be going back to the time of Jesus. That's how old olive trees grow. But as they're going up the hill, they're walking through grapevines. And this is at night. And the farmers go out at night because it's not as hot at night. And they trim off the dead branches. And they put the dead branches in piles and burn them because they're trash. And so actually, it could be that Jesus and the apostles are walking up the hill and they're guided by the light of the fires burning up the dead grapevines that weren't producing. And in the middle of that, Jesus tells his disciples, I am the true vine. In that context. Now again, he says, ego I me, I and only I and I alone, what those two Greek words mean. Same thing he said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ego, I me. I and only I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now he's saying, I and only I am the good true vine. In this chapter, he uses abide, abiding in the vine 8 times. He uses fruit 6 times. You have to have the vine to have the branches. The vine gives the branches vitality, strength, vigor. The sap and the juice from the vine flow in and produce and maintain leaves, buds, blossoms, and fruit. But there are a couple things in this chapter. First of all, our standing. What's our relationship with God? John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. That's our relationship. We're plugged into him. There is the state. Now the you there is plural. You, the whole group of Christians. The state, John 15:5, is singular. You, the individual. Look at verse 5. I am the true vine, and you, the individual, are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So that's fellowship. And our fellowship with God varies from day to day. We may not be as close to God today as we were yesterday. We may not be as close to God today as we will be tomorrow. And then the last part, standing, state, service. Without me, you can do nothing. That's plural again. You, the church. You, the group. You, the church. You, the vines. Plural. You can't do anything without me. Stewardship. You can keep on doing or you can keep on not doing. It all depends on me. Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus taught, come unto me. He taught, learn of me. He taught, follow me. Now he teaches, abide in me. We have to understand what Jesus is telling us. When Jesus says, come unto me, you come unto Jesus as your Savior. When he says, learn of me, we come to Jesus as our teacher. When he says, follow me, we come to Jesus as our master. And when here he says, abide in me, we come to Jesus because he is our life, all of life. George Lamson, of course, I like his insights. He grew up in Assyria, what is now northern Iraq, where people live today like they lived 2,000 years ago. In many parts of the East, vines grow wild. They resemble the cultivated grapevines, but their grapes are smaller and bitter. A good vineyard is noted for the grapes it produces. In the East, a vine is a symbol of a family and of a church. The vine has its branches, just like a family has their members, a church has their members. When good vineyards are neglected or abandoned, the fruit becomes poor. The vine resembles one in the wild that is uncultivated. The Jewish race was God's vineyard. The prophets were the husbandmen, but the Jews had for many centuries been without prophets and guidance. They had lost their religious power, and just like the salt had lost its savor. Jesus was to prune this vineyard. He had to remove the dry branches and those that did not bear fruit. Jesus was the true vine, and those who believed in him were the branches which were to abide in him in order to bear fruit. It's a good commentary. Now I want to talk about 6 things very briefly. First of all, dependence on Jesus. We've got to depend on him. He's the vine. All the nutrients come through. All the energy comes through. All the ability comes through. We've talked about that, dependence on Jesus. The second one is deceptive fruitfulness. Jesus taught the parable of the barren fig tree. They're walking around. There was a fig tree. It was supposed to have fruit. It didn't. They said, what do we do? Well, one, he had them chop it down, but the other one happened twice. He taught a parable. He says, dig around it, prune it, fertilize it, give it another year. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, after you've done everything you can for it, then cut it down. It's no good. The same thing he said to the church of Sardis in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1. I know thy works, and thou hast a name, a reputation, and thou livest, but thou art dead. Man, there's a branch, but it's dead. There are 2 kinds of branches, fruit-bearing and non-fruit-bearing. What causes that? And Ed could tell us. First of all, a lack of proper nourishment. You have a poor supply of water and nutrients, so the vine will be destroyed. You have disease, insects and disease move from dead wood into healthy branches. Immature branches, new branches don't produce. It requires several years of pruning before they can produce, which is why I've never tried to grow asparagus. You've got to grow asparagus for 2 years before it sends up the first shoot. I'm impatient. I want it now. I'm sorry. I don't even buy green bananas. I want it now, okay? Improper pruning. A wise gardener knows how to remove, what to remove in order to bring about fruitfulness. We have to trust God to do that. No gardener. Vines need constant attention in order to produce. Separated from the vine, branches must be attached to a healthy rootstock or it won't bear fruit. You know, either two kinds of branches, they bear fruit, they don't bear fruit. And he is the vine, we are the branches. Now, in this chapter, there are degrees of fruitfulness. Some vines produce more than others. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Okay. Ooh. So there's one kind of fruit bearing is not. They're not bearing any fruit. Okay. We have church members like that. Now, look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, so there's fruit, he purgeth that it may bring forth more fruit. So you have no fruit, fruit, more fruit. And then in verse 5, I am the vine, you the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit. So different degrees of fruit bearing. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. It's kind of like the parable of the sower, the good seed produced 10, 20, maybe even 100-fold, different amounts of harvest based on fruitfulness. So you've got the dependence on Jesus, deceptive fruitfulness, degrees of fruitfulness, the discipline of the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth. Wow. Cuts back. The word is purge here. Kythairo, that's where we get the word cauterize, to cauterize, to cleanse, to wash, to purify. God washes and purifies us. He sanctifies us for good, not to hurt us, but to help us grow more. And we're supposed to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talked about that growth in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We beholding is in a mirror the image of the Lord our grow from glory to glory, even into the likeness of Jesus. We grow more and more. But Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord love, he spanks. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, I heard a hippie talk about this one time. The most famous Christian hippie I ever knew, met, was Hugh Tarsi. He was a hippie that smoked dope in Orlando, and they arrested him, and he was in the Orange County jail, and the Gideons came by passing out Bibles. I've told you this story, and so he got a Bible so he could have papers to roll cigarettes. So he would rip out a page of the Bible and roll it into a cigarette, and while he was smoking, he was bored, so he'd read the rest of the Bible. So he'd sit there and smoke a cigarette and read the Bible, and he said he smoked halfway through Luke before he got saved. But Hugh was talking about this the time I saw him and met him, and he said, you know, God prunes me. Now, sometimes God has a little pair of snips, and God comes up to me, and he goes, snip, 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 snip. And then sometimes God gets a big pair of choppers, and he has to come up to me, and he goes, womp, and womp. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He that bears fruit, God prunes, so he can bear more fruit. the discipline of the branches. Now, what's the definition of fruitfulness? Verse 5. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Or verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. Tremendous promise, prayer promise. We abide in him. God answers our prayers. But what about the fruit? J.C. Ryle said, fruit's the only proof that a person's a real Christian. Look for the fruit. Oh, we're not supposed to judge people, but we can be fruit inspectors. Look for the fruit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Definition of fruitfulness, and then the design of God. What does God want us to get out of this as the branches? He wants us to get love and joy. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. St. Augustine said, let no man deceive himself by saying that he loves Christ when he does not obey Christ. We love Christ in the proportion in which we keep his commandments. John Calvin said, Christian who is content with little fruit will be content with little love and little joy. As my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Six things this morning: dependence on Christ, deceptive fruitlessness, degrees of fruitfulness, discipline of the branches, the definition of fruitfulness, and the design of God. God wants us to have love and joy. Now, Arthur Stainhouse gave me an illustration from 1963. Imagine yourself before a fountain. You hold in your hand an empty bottle. There's water. I mean, there's all kinds of water coming out of this fountain. The water is right there in front of you. The water is there. The bottle is empty. Now, whether or not the bottle fills up depends on how you hold the bottle under the water. You can hold the bottle under the water with the opening up so the water can get in, or you can hold the bottle upside down. No water gets in the bottle. What God does in our life depends not on what he wants to do, because there's plenty of water running there, but on what we will let God do by turning the bottle the right way so he can fill us up. That's up to us. The water's there. It's running. It's flowing. It's up to us to take it in. It's like the lady said in church one time in a revival. She said, Lord, I can't hold much, but I can overflow lots. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to bear fruit. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I am the true vine.